I often talk about how vaccines are a miracle. They've saved millions of lives. But exactly how do they work? Well, they connect to the human immune system, which is itself really phenomenal.
So when a germ gets inside
and attacks your body, the immune system sees unusual foreign shapes on the surface. And then special cells in your body, called white blood cells, create antibodies that connect up. Then your immune system knows to go and kill this foreign object. The idea of the vaccine is instead of having to get sick the first time to develop this immunity, we take something that looks like a foreign bug, teach the immune system the shape of this foreign object so it's ready to attack with antibodies very, very quickly when the real bug shows up, so you can avoid lots of diseases if you've been properly vaccinated. And that's why Gavi was created. Gavi came up with the money and a plan to get vaccines out to all the kids of the world. If you go back to 1990, about 9% of all children died before the age of 5. Now, that number is about 4%. And these vaccines that Gavi got out have been critical to that. So it really is a miracle. You can read more about vaccines and the investments we've made at GatesLetter.com.
Well, I'm still here. Still here for you. The world is collapsing around us, but I'm still able to do this. Still able to talk to you, so here we go. We're going to talk about Bill Gates today. You recall he stood down from his position on the board of directors at Microsoft, which was a pretty big to-do. Many CEOs have been stepping down the last couple months. And now we're finding out why. We're finding out that a lot of these senators had access to a private meeting before the coronavirus chaos kicked off. And then they immediately dumped all their stocks because they knew what was coming. That, I would argue, is why these CEOs were stepping out. They knew about this before it happened, which should make you pretty mad. Makes me mad that we aren't better prepared. If they'd spend less time worrying about selling off their stocks and more time preparing us for it, that would have been nice, right? We're going to talk about Bill Gates today. We're going to talk about mandatory vaccination programs coming out. We're going to talk about the Mark of the Beast, ID 2020. What is it? If I get kicked off the air, it's going to be for this episode. So this is uncharted territory. This is scary, right? And look, let me talk. And first, before we get into all this crazy stuff, which it just may be crazy stuff, right? I'm going to tell you what proof I see, and you can do with it what you wish. Do your research. Don't go too crazy. I mean, conspiracy theories are just that. They're all swinging for the fences. Sometimes it's right, though. That's what's scary. But let me tell you something right now. This is my opinion about what's happening in our world right now. This is a nightmare. It's a literal nightmare. I hate this. I hate everything about this. I'm ready. Give me the mark of the beast. Give me the chip. Give me the vaccines. I'll take all of them right now. If that means my life can go back to normal. If I can go back to CrossFit. Go back out to the real world. I am right now. I'm Cypher in the Matrix. I get it now. Remember that? Remember when Cypher, he talks to the agents and he wants back out of, well, I should say back into the Matrix, because he's been woke by Morpheus, but they're eating slime in a spaceship in the Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, you know what, plug me back in, dude. I don't want this. That's how I feel right now. And I know many of you are disappointed with that. I know you're disappointed. I've told you before, I'm not a good conspiracy theorist. I'm not a good Christian, and I'm not a good conspiracy theorist. I don't have the fortitude for this. And I don't know, man. I see the problems with the Mark of the Beast chips and the vaccines. I'm here to tell you right now, I'll roll those dice right now if I can go back to my real world. If I could wake up tomorrow and everything's great again, if America was great again, I would do it. You know, and that there's many good arguments against the vaccinations. And I talked about that. I addressed this in my first book. And the idea, the final idea I had to walk away with is, yes, vaccines are dangerous to some people. It causes real problems. And it's scary that they don't really acknowledge that too much because they're so busy trying to persuade everybody to take them. But they're doing it because they want the herd immunity, because everyone has to take it to protect some people that can't. So, you know, look, you protect, and these are numbers I'm making up off the top of my head. I don't know this for sure. You know, you protect, there's 10% of the population that can't take the vaccine because their immune systems are too weak. So the other 90% got to take this vaccine to protect that 10%. And in doing that, you know, 2% has some real serious damage in their lives. Is it autism? I don't know. They claim many studies of huge numbers suggesting otherwise. But it does. I mean, you go to CDC's website, it'll tell you right there. There's side effects to these things. But it's a numbers game, right? But it's hard. You know, how do you be the one that, you know, the one in your family takes that hit? Isn't that 1%? It's tough. I get it. So anyway, and they're not being, and they're not the most trustworthy folks telling us this stuff, are they? Anyhow, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the symbolism of coronavirus first. Big ups to MJ on this one. Hit me up on the tweets. Disney, and I've told you before, I haven't seen many Disney movies in my lifetime. There's a movie called Tangled, and the girl apparently gets quarantined. Where is she quarantined? In the kingdom of Corona. My God. My God. Walt Disney knew it because he was in the order of Jacques de Molay, and they taught him this 50 years ago before he cryogenically froze his head. Before a wrench got frozen to his severed head. If you remember that news story, if you were working at the cryogenic place, put a wrench down or something on his head and it froze to it. Boy. We got to laugh at this stuff at some point, right? Now, when we talk about the occult symbolism, this is before, I assure you, we're going to get into Bill Gates and the vaccination thing here in a minute. The corona means crown, okay? Let's look at this from the occult symbolism perspective. And it made me immediately think of the Statue of Liberty. Of course, the symbol, the goddess Semiramis. She's got the 7 rays from her crown, from her corona, which represents the rays of the sun. When you go back to, you know, all the persecuted secret societies, they seem to be hiding this hidden truth about this wisdom of Lucifer behind solar worship. That's what the claim is. So that's just one more connection, we could argue. The goddess of America, the Semiramis, Statue of Liberty, the solar worship of Corona. Now, if you want to go further into that, you look up what the corona of the sun is on, like, NASA's Nazi website. It is the outermost part of the sun's atmosphere. It is usually hidden by the light of the sun's surface. So it is only visible during what? A total solar eclipse. And what is that? That is the black sun. The black sun. The alchemical black sun. The blackening. Transforming the world. Now, you'll recall, and this is where things get interesting, there was a total solar eclipse in America just a few years ago, and it was indicating a big shift in humanity. Okay? Now, at the time, you'll recall, Trump had just gotten in office, and I was focused on this obsession the media and everybody had of connecting Trump to the chaos candidate. There was countless connections where basically he was the agent of chaos in the system. That's, you know, there's many examples of that. You could look it up. He was the chaos man. And then at the time, if you recall, there was this idea that Keck, Pepe the Frog, was the reason he got in. It was this meme magic. There was people charging these hyper sigils of chaos magic for the chaos candidate. And they associated Trump with Pepe the Frog. Pepe the Frog, of course, was Keck, the Egyptian deity frog. And he is the god of primordial darkness and chaos. So you have this very strange string of chaos. And if you recall, one of the linchpins of Freemasonic Illuminati conspiracy is to create order out of chaos. Order ab chao. Which is kind of scary, right? Did the charging of meme magic, charging up of the Pepe the Frog, create reality? Did chaos ensue? Can we blame Donald Trump and his fan base for this? Well, I don't know. But I'm going to read you from my now prophetic 2017 article exploring the meme magic and the Keck and the Pepe. And I'm going to put a link to this in the show notes, which also has the link to my social medias. Be sure to like and subscribe, follow. Now, I'm going to read you from my 2017 article. Quote, and this is in my conclusion. One might ask, so what's the harm in meme magic? Well, much like the other examinations into the world of the occult and magic, it depends. Some people use magic for self-enhancement, while others use it to wreak havoc. One could argue that the installment of the chaos candidate Donald Trump as president is an example. So there you go. They wanted to wreak havoc. They wanted chaos. So they put the chaos man in there through charging the hyper sigil of the chaos god of Keck. And what happens? The whole world falls apart. Now, in that same article, we also explore Robert Anton Wilson, the Illuminatus trilogy, Eye in the Pyramid book. Quote, I'm going to read you from it. Tell me if your skin doesn't crawl a little bit with this one. Quote, since almost everything has been tried in human history, find out what hasn't been tried, at least not on a large scale. And that will be the condition to which the Illuminati are trying to move the rest of mankind. Capitalism had been tried. Communism had been tried. Even Henry George's single tax had been tried in Australia. Fascism, feudalism, and mysticism had been tried. Anarchism has never been tried. Now, Anton Wilson, of course, is talking about the goddess of chaos, Eris, the goddess of chaos and Discordianism. Do you see how it's all connected here? The chaos they want? And how foolish I fall into it. I want the order. Give me the order back. I'm just being honest, though. You know, if the future means I take the chip, the vaccine, and I get my old ways back versus hunkering down in my bunker in my home for an unforeseeable future, give me the chip. Give me the chip. I don't want this. I don't want it. I mean, it's nice for a short period of time, but I guess it's more of the unknown of how long it's going to be that bothers me. If you said, hey, it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I can live with that. It's the, channel. They're saying July, August? Are you shitting me? I can't do this. I'm going crazy, man. Anyway, let's talk about Bill Gates. Bill Gates resigned from the board of directors at Microsoft. Very curious timing, don't you think? Well, everyone thought that. And he did an Ask Me Anything on Reddit on March 18th, 2020. Big ups Hot Rod on this one. And boy, did he give us some revealing information. I'm going to read to you from it. And this is Bill Gates talking here. He's responding to a question, which you can figure out from the reply. He says, "The question of which businesses should keep going is tricky. Certainly food supply and the health system. We still need water, electricity, and the internet. Supply chains for critical things need to be maintained. Countries are still figuring out what to keep running. Eventually, we will have some digital certificates to show who has recovered or been tested recently, or when we have a vaccine, who has received it." Yeah, you heard that right. He said, I'm going to read that one more time. "Eventually, we will have some digital certificates to show who has recovered or been tested recently, or when we have a vaccine, who has received it." And rightfully so, someone replies, they said, "Digital certificates? Are you saying each person individually will receive a document that says we were tested? Can that be used against us?" And the person is incorrect in thinking they're going to get a document. He said, Bill Gates said, "We will have a digital certificate." Okay? It's not a paper. It's not a piece of paper. It's a digital thing. So what could this be? Is it an email? No, my friends. And this is some other person who could be way wrong. It didn't get addressed. But the other person replied to that person and said, "No, he's saying Microsoft and MIT developed tattoo markers that show whether you've received a vaccine or not. This will be coupled with Gates' new invention, ID 2020, which is a digital ID microchip implanted under the skin." Now, this person is wrong on many levels, the way they presented that. So don't get too scared yet. And they posted some links. And then that person also said, "Of course, he has more practice at public relations than me, so he can put it more mildly," saying that Bill Gates isn't telling you the whole truth. And then someone else reads through the links that person provided and says, "That third link is the most disturbing website I've ever seen," referring to ID 2020, which we're going to discuss. We're going to go deep into that. So the truth lies somewhere between these two things. Bill Gates is saying that, acting real calm, like, "Hey, it's fine. We're going to have a vaccine and a way of tracking it." And then this person responds with the links and says, "ID 2020 is going to put the chip under your skin." I mean, kind of, right? I mean, they're not entirely wrong. They're definitely being more truthful than Bill Gates here. So let's look at this, right? I sort of looked through the links and I tried to understand what this person was alluding to. And I don't think they're too far off. I think they're a little off. But let's just look at it, right? Looking at the links the person provided, the first one goes to MIT News, an article from December 18th, 2019 called "Storing Medical Information Below the Skin Surface." Basically, they're saying that there's going to be dye placed in a vaccine that will build a patient's vaccination record inside of the patient, right? Says the dye is nanocrystals or quantum dots and can remain for at least 5 years under the skin. And at first I thought, 5 years, that's it? We're going to get the mark of the beast for 5 years? I mean, 5 years flies by. But anyways, it's this ink and it's only visible to a smartphone camera. And it came about because of a desire for tracking vaccines, because there currently isn't really a good way that exists. Unless the patient keeps the paper records, which is true, right? I mean, like, I've got questions about some of the vaccinations I've got, but I don't have all the records. For instance, I don't know if you know, but I was on a porch that collapsed and, of course, got scraped up by some rusty nails and stuff. And the question came up, when did I get my tetanus last? I said, oh, crap, I don't know. I don't keep record of that. Luckily, I did find that there is some digital management of it through my medical records. And I found that I had, of course, the tetanus vaccine, I don't know, 6 years ago. Whatever the number is that kept it from having to do it again. But anyway, you get my point. The point is, Bill and Melinda Gates funded this. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funded this idea of how are we going to track these vaccines? Let's just shoot the digital record in the body so they can't lose it. Not a terrible idea. But it's also like, well, why don't we have a better way of like storing the digital like on a computer system, right? Which they tried to do. They tried to make like a universal sort of, I think Obama tried to do that. Maybe it was Bush even. Tried to do some kind of digital medical records that no matter where you went, the files remained. And I don't really know what came of that. Maybe it was too cumbersome. But I get where they're coming from, right? I get it. The next article posted was sciencealert.com about the invisible quantum dot tattoo. And I'm going to read you from it. It says, quote, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funded the team's research, which was published in the Journal of Science of Translational Medicine. Quote, the project came about following a direct request from Microsoft founder Bill Gates himself, who's been personally involved in efforts to eradicate polio and measles through vaccinations. Okay, so clearly, Bill Gates has an interest in implanting vaccination records inside the human body. And clearly, this accelerated in 2019. Which is going to connect us into Event 201, which we're also going to reveal some very scary truths about here. So let's look at ID 2020. What the person said was the most disturbing link they've ever seen. What is ID 2020? Well, you got to read through there. It's a little vague, but you read through their manifesto. The first article says it's the ability to prove one's identity. I'm sorry, let me back up. The first article says, quote, the ability to prove one's identity is a fundamental and universal human right. What does that mean, right? I mean, it's very vague. But you look through the rest of the ideas, the rest of the manifesto, and the idea seems to be that each person needs a digital way to prove who they are in order to access services or vote. Identification in a digital format. Okay? Like currently we do that with passwords and such. You know. Okay. I get behind that. I understand that. So instead of like having an ID card, you know, because there's a lot of people that don't have ID cards, this is a digital way of doing that. How do they do that? It seems mostly geared, or the inception of it mostly geared towards like children. Poor people, homeless people that have no digital identity, no Facebooks, and such, so no one could steal their data and monitor their data. In my opinion, I think that's what they're trying to do with all that. Anyway, that's what it seems geared towards, officially. You go through their FAQs, and honestly, it seems like it's trying to be a good thing. Let me read to you from the FAQs. In the developed world, most of us large service providers, I'm a mess, man. This coronavirus got me all messed up. In the developed world, most of us use large service providers to manage the huge number and variety of digital identifiers we collect. The most prevalent service providers are Facebook, Google, and Amazon. Each provider mediates digital interactions in order to provide a seamless digital service. And yet, as they do, they also collect digital identifiers in order to derive insights and drive profits. This is data mining. This is what they're saying. You know, Facebook is selling your personal data to make money, to derive insights. They're trying to track and model you to understand how to best advertise to you and arguably manipulate you. And people can use this data to see how the masses are thinking. Anyways, so the ID 2020, it continues on. Because like I said, we're gonna talk about here how it sounds like a good thing, honestly. So your digital identifiers are, for the most part, not in your control. In fact, they are more often than not stored in silos And the more siloed and numerous your digital identifiers become, the less control you have over them. So while you do have a digital identity, you probably don't have control over it. Right? Zuckerberg's got control over it. Google's got control over it. And that's just you. Over 1 billion people worldwide do not have access to any form of identification. This lack can make it difficult, if not impossible, to access basic critical services like education or healthcare. So a large group of individuals have no digital identity, and those of us that do don't enjoy our rights to privacy, security, and choice. Your digital identity should be yours, but isn't. Now, don't ask me how this would change, right? Like, you would still be on, like, Facebook, liking and all that kind of stuff, and Facebook would still see that, I guess, right? So, like I said, it's a little vague. I don't really understand it, but that's what they're saying about it. So let's look at who ID 2020 is. The founding partners include Microsoft, you know, Bill Gates, the Rockefeller Foundation, Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, who, if you look at their mission statement, it says they seek to give vaccine access to the poorest countries and children. So that's where the first alarm goes off. Right off the bat, the vaccines are apparently part of the formula, but you don't really see that in the language on the website at all. But clearly, they were part of this thing. So that's where I start getting a little more paranoid about it. So is it really connected into vaccines? Like I said, you can't really find a word about it on the website, but of course it pops up on conspiracy blogs, but there's no real links or references here. So I found an article from September 20th, 2019. Curious timing, right? Right before the big corona blow up, on a website called biometricupdate.com, and it's titled ID 2020 and Partners Launch Program to Provide Digital ID with Vaccines. So boom, there you go. Quote, the ID 2020 Alliance has launched a new digital identity program at its annual summit in New York in collaboration with the government of Bangladesh, Vaccine Alliance Gavi, and new partners in government, academia, and humanitarian relief. The program to leverage immunization as an opportunity to establish digital identity was unveiled by ID 2020 in partnership with the Bangladesh's Government Access to Information Program, the Director General of Health Services, and Gavi. We are implementing a forward-looking approach to digital identity that gives individuals controls over their own personal information while still building off existing systems and programs, says Anir Chowdhury, policy advisor at A2I. The government of Bangladesh recognizes the design of digital identity systems carries far-reaching implications for individuals' access to services and livelihoods. We are eager to pioneer this approach. Gavi CEO Seth Berkley says that 89% of children and adolescents who do not have identification live in countries where the organization is active. We are enthusiastic about the potential impact of this program, not just in Bangladesh, but as something we can replicate across Gavi-eligible countries, providing a viable route to closing the identity gap. Now, this identity gap thing keeps coming up when you read through all these websites. Now, just hearing that, I think, what are they talking about? I'm thinking, and this is from my paranoia mind, these are people they can't track. They really try to sell this as a way to empower the individual, allow us to control our own data and privacy. What does that even mean? What is the identity gap? Now, a related idea that was mentioned in other articles from Austin, Texas. I wonder if Alex Jones knows about this. He probably already covered it. I don't listen to him, so I don't know. There's a thing called MyPass from April 2018. It's an initiative that gives homeless people the option to store their vital documents digitally with blockchain technology. And this information the homeless people can now have is used for housing, employment, healthcare, and such. Now, they're not saying they're implanting it in a chip in their skin. They're just saying there's a digital system out there that somehow they prove it's them. I don't know, with a password. It doesn't really explain. Now, it's so curious that they've got these credit systems, right, in our world. They've got credit systems used to keep us on the grid. You know, you do your taxes, you pay your bills. So you've got the IRS tracking your income. You've got the credit systems tracking how, you know, reliable you are. They give you a credit score, which determines what kind of interest rates you get, if you qualify for a loan. So we're basically on the grid already. And we're monitored in order to access things, right? Yet you've got people like homeless people or children who aren't on the game yet. They're not playing the game. They are this identity gap. It's like they're desperately trying to get these people on the grid too. Trying to get them in the mouse wheel. So that's the ID 2020. If it's not much clearer to you, it's not much clearer to me either. But apparently it's this obsession with getting the identity gap, getting everyone digital identifiers. And it seems recently that one of their founders, Gavi, is trying to use vaccines to make this happen. Which leads us to this event 201. This is something that we talked about a few weeks back, but we're going to take another look at it today and we're going to dig a little deeper. What is Event 201? Well, it was a simulation. I'll read you from the actual website. Event 201 simulates an outbreak of a novel zoonotic coronavirus transmitted from bats to pigs to people that eventually becomes efficiently transmissible from person to person, leading to a severe pandemic. The pathogen and the disease it causes are modeled largely on SARS, but it is more transmissible in the community setting by people with mild symptoms. Stop me if any of this sounds familiar. It says, there's no possibility of a vaccine being available in the first year. There is a fictional antiviral drug that can help the sick but not significantly limit spread of the disease, which sounds a lot like what this anti-malaria drug is at this current stage. Maybe it could help, maybe it can't, we don't know. Since the whole human population is susceptible during the initial months of the pandemic, the cumulative number of cases increases exponentially, doubling every week. And as the cases and deaths accumulate, the economic and societal consequences become increasingly severe. The scenario ends at the 18-month point with 65 million deaths. The pandemic is beginning to slow due to the decreasing number of susceptible people. The pandemic will continue at some rate until there's an effective vaccine, or until 80 to 90% of the global population has been exposed. From that point on, it's likely to be an endemic childhood disease. Now, curious enough, on CNN, 19 March, there was an article that says U.S. government is preparing for the possibility of a coronavirus pandemic that could last up to 18 months, which the Event 201 says the scenario ends at the 18-month point. Very strange, right? That's why we were talking about all the meme magic and the Pepe and the Keck and all the weird stuff going on. What? How much of this is people creating reality? Can we make these occult magicians focus on something more positive, please? Now, the press release says the following. This is from Event 201, okay? The exercise underscores the need for global public-private cooperation to mitigate economic and societal impacts of severe pandemics, which is exactly what Trump is doing, right? He's pulling in the private industry. He keeps harping on that. There's a public-private cooperation happening right now, okay? Which is good, right? Because the Event 201 says the exercise underscores the need for that. Continuing on, it says, in recent years, the world has seen a growing number of epidemic events, about 200 per year, which strain limited resources. A large global pandemic would be disruptive to health, economies, and society. Economic studies show that pandemics could cause an average annual economic loss of 0.7% of global GDP, or $570 billion. In addition to challenging health systems, pandemics can cause severe cascading economic and societal consequences, said Tom Inglesby, MD, director of Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security at the Bloomberg School of Public Health. Quote, neither governments nor private industries alone can adequately respond to a severe pandemic. They must work together. We've designed Event 201 to engage leaders in compelling ways to help them understand decisions needed to prepare and respond to biological threats. Right, and that, and for what it's worth, what kind of solace we can find, and that, I think that's what we're doing. That's what it seems like here in America, maybe. Event 201, played by 15 leaders of business, government, and public health, will illustrate a realistic policy problems that must be addressed under pressure during a pandemic. And here's where we go back to Paranoiaville with this next statement. At the video-driven exercise, players will be presented with a scenario that reveals unresolved and controversial policy and economic issues that could be solved with sufficient political will, financial investment, and attention. A scenario that reveals unresolved and controversial policy. What's that controversial policy? Is it mandatory tracked vaccinations? Based on all that stuff we talked about earlier with Bill Gates and his ID 2020, the microchip with the vaccination records in it. Now, the findings of the simulation, this is where we're going to look into this a little more. What is the controversial policy? Well, I don't really know. But there's 7 items that were the findings of the simulation. We're going to talk about them. 2 are related to vaccines. 1 is related to misinformation. So that's almost half of it. Okay, first one. Governments, international organizations, and businesses should plan now for how essential corporate capabilities will be utilized during the pandemic. And basically what it says, and it goes, you know, because it goes into more detail, it says the government public resources are going to be overwhelmed. And we need to pull private industry in, which again, is what we're doing here in America. The second finding, industry, national governments, and international organizations should work together to enhance international health stockpiles and medical countermeasures to enable rapid and equitable distribution during a severe pandemic. Now, this is one of the vaccination mentions when you go further into the paragraph. It talks about how the World Health Organization has an influenza vaccine virtual stockpile, which with contracts in place with Big Pharma that agree to supply vaccines if the World Health Organization requests them. I'm going to read you from it. As one possible approach, the virtual stockpile model could be expanded to augment the WHO's ability to distribute vaccines and therapeutics to countries in the greatest need during a severe pandemic. This should also include any additional experimental vaccine stockpiles for any World Health Organization R&D blueprint pathogens to deploy in a clinical trial during outbreaks, in collaboration with CEPI, Gavi, and WHO. So there you go. It says right there, any available experimental vaccine stockpiles. So, I mean, this is just me, just an idiot reading this. Are they saying that they're going to have an experimental coronavirus vaccination that they're going to roll out? I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to make sense of this. I'm just reading this. But maybe, right? Finding number 3 from the event. Countries, international organizations, and global transportation companies should work together. Blase, blase, blah. Basically says that communications between public and private need to happen to ensure travel restrictions are relayed. Talks about fear during outbreaks leading to unjustified border measures, closure of customer-facing businesses, import bans, and cancellation of airline flights. Says they actually need to keep the key travel and trade routes open to protect the economy. Which seems like we're not really doing that. It seems like we're shutting the borders down. The fourth finding. Government should provide more resources and support for development and surge manufacturing of vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics that will be needed during a severe pandemic. This is the second mention of vaccinations. This one is about the logistics, basically, of getting the supplies and manufacturing of it together. And the sixth one, the sixth finding. We're almost done here, folks, by the way. Hang in there. International organizations should prioritize reducing economic impacts. Basically says that the behavior of individuals and businesses is what causes the economic damages. What businesses are too big to fail? They'll all need help. The seventh and final finding, governments and the private sector should assign a greater priority to developing methods to combat misinformation. And this is another one that concerns me. It's about the censorship of the controversial fake news things. Which I get it, right? Like, sometimes that needs to happen. And it says about how the government needs to partner with social media to counter this and flood the media with information that's accurate. It doesn't say anything about censoring, but I'm sure it's considered, right? So there you have it. Out of the seven findings, the big takeaways are rolling out vaccinations, countering misinformation. That's what the Event 201 findings were. And how does that play into the overall picture? Well, it seems like they've been prepping for a vaccination identification program. And I would argue that this is the moment that it would most likely go into full steam ahead mode, right? But I don't know. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to say this is Mark of the Beast stuff, but especially because it says it only lasts 5 years. So take that for what it's worth. And look, like I said at the beginning of the show, I don't know. Is it worth it? Maybe. Like, how much do you fight this whole thing? How much do you fight this whole thing? Do you want to live in the Matrix? I don't know. Things are definitely not clear enough for me to advise or say this is what you should do. All I know is that I sure do miss the way things were. And I'm sure you feel the same pain too. Quarantined and such. But yeah, maybe we should take some time to research vaccinations a little deeper. Doesn't matter at this point. Does it matter? I don't know. But yeah, it's possible. It's very possible that this, whether it was a staged thing or not, this whole coronavirus thing, it's very real, right? We know that. Was this part of some grand scheme? I have no idea. That's speculation. But I can tell you the outcome appears to be pointed towards vaccinations and tracking of them through embedded tracking systems. So take that for what it's worth. Try not to live in fear, though. Try to keep your stress levels low, your immunity up. And until next time, stay woke.